Good day. Welcome back to Visit Julian Blog Talk Radio Podcast. Today we are meeting with Amber Ramirez, Farmers Insurance, and she's going to talk about some of the issues and questions, and hopefully this will be real informative for those of you who are out there wondering about all different types of insurance. Welcome, Amber.
Welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, super happy to have you. So you're in, obviously, insurance. Amber, what's the name of your actual agency?
So the name of my agency is Amber Ramirez Insurance Agency. Mm-hmm. I am a Farmers Insurance broker, so mm-hmm. my contract is with Farmers. However, I have an older contract, so if Farmers doesn't write a particular product or physical address, mm-hmm. I do have a brokerage that we can go outside and try to assist people.
Oh, that's great. So there, if there's something that Farmers can't offer, you can still be of help to people.
Correct. Like, for example, Farmers doesn't offer health insurance or mm-hmm. Medicare. We offer that through my agency because they don't even offer that.
Right. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. All right. So what lines do you cover that people could reach out to you? Let's go through the list of types of insurance.
Yeah, we offer basically all types. We offer home, we offer auto, business insurance, workers' comp, life insurance, health insurance, Medicare, dental, vision.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's basically not an insurance that I am not able to sell you.
That's awesome. All right, cool. And I noticed that you have the LUTCF designation, and that's important. It lets people know that you're working hard to stay educated and stay smart about what you're doing.
Correct, yeah. So it's a Life Underwriter Training Council Fellowship mm-hmm. membership. So basically, it's extensive life underwriting that mm-hmm. I have had the training on. Also, some of my Medicare certifications you have to do every year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, continuing education. Yeah. I really enjoy doing that and, you know, stay on top of the changes that are upcoming. And it's important to keep my license and be, you know, helpful to people who need it.
Right, especially Medicare because it changes so often. And
every
then
year.
All that protection that's now put in place to protect predatory selling for people. So it's good for them, it's good for you, and it keeps people, like when they're working with you, it keeps them secure and safe that you're really a person who cares about what they need and can offer them the best coverage.
Right, yeah. And Medicare is one of the biggest things that they have the certifications every year because it's not something that you've dealt with mm-hmm. until you pretty much turn 65.
Right.
So it's something new to mm-hmm. almost every individual. Whereas regular health insurance, right. you've dealt with at age 18, 20.
Right.
So you know a little bit of the basics, but Medicare is a whole new ballgame there. So that's what we're there for, is to help educate, help you know the pros and cons of different choices you might have.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way you can make your decision and go forward
with
it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So being in Julian, there's a number one question, and I've been here 18 years, and I came up right after the Cedar Fire, so mm-hmm. So now I said the word fire insurance, and lots of people have questions on social media. There's always some banter going back and forth, so maybe if you could talk a little bit about what it means to insure a home against fire up here in Julian.
Yeah, you know, the Witch Creek and the Cedar Fires were very detrimental. But that's not all that affects fire insurance in California. Some of the Malibu fires, some of the Northern mm-hmm. California fires, all the wildfires in the state of California affect insurance companies. And so what insurance companies have started doing is they've started picking and choosing what they want to insure.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they do have to have their rates approved by the Department of Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But they do pick and choose what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1968 is when the California Fair Plan was established. And basically what that says is in order to sell fire insurance, for example, in the state of California, if Farmers wants to sell, they have to participate in the California Fair Plan.
Mm-hmm.
A number of people, I would tell you 98% of people assume because it has the word California in it, mm-hmm. it's government run, and it is not.
I have the California Fair Plan, and I thought I was insured by the state of California.
Yeah, it is not. It is an exchange program that mm-hmm. every insurance company that wants to sell fire insurance in the state of California has to participate in. So, for example, if Farmers has 35% market share in the state of California mm-hmm. for fire policies, mm-hmm. they will participate in the California Fair Plan by 35% in losses, claims, profits. So it's another exchange company that oversees all of these insurance companies and distributes profits and losses and things like that.
I had no idea.
So it's basically, in my opinion, twisting insurance companies' arms to make them, you know, okay, you don't want to write this on your own. Well, guess what? If the FAIR plan has to get involved, you're still going to be a portion responsible for this property.
Yeah, it's like a risk pool kind of thing.
It is. It is exactly like that. Yeah. So, like I said, a number of people come to me, well, I don't want that state insurance. Well, it's not state insurance. It has the name California in it, and a lot of people assume that.
Yeah.
It is good in some aspects. I mean, it is able to get you fire insurance where every other insurance company doesn't have to offer it to you, but you are going to pay quite a bit more for it. So it's good to have someone who's local, familiar with the area, familiar with the needs, how the process works.
Has a home in the area as well.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, I've seen a number of people, you know, come to me with a quote from the California FAIR Plan from someone, you know, maybe up in Temecula that isn't right here in the area. And maybe they didn't choose all the options that I would have.
Sure.
Because that's the other thing about the California FAIR Plan is, in my opinion, it's like a cafeteria plan.
Mm-hmm.
You pick and choose what coverages you want and what limits you want. So you can, and I've seen a number of times, someone just left off debris removal completely.
Oh.
Well, guess what? If your home burns down, that's $20,000 to $25,000 coming out of your pocket if you don't have that on your coverage. And how would you know if you don't see an insurance professional to educate you
Right. I didn't even think about that. Now you're making me go look at my FAIR plan. Ours is built into our escrow through our mortgage. So our mortgage has gone up almost $300 a month since we bought the house. So I'm sure that that's, I mean, there are other things that are involved in the escrow with your home. But, you know, the insurance is definitely one of them. And so...
Yeah, now we've been writing the FAIR plan. I mean, it really started up probably about 3 years ago to where we're having to write it more and more. Last year in 2021 is the first time I've seen California FAIR plan take a huge rate increase, and they took two last year. So they took one in January, and I want to say June or July, they took another one. Because, you know, they're not wanting to write the insurance either. It's kind of, you know, being placed on them because basically you're saying you can't get insurance elsewhere.
Right.
So, you know, they don't tell us ahead of time when there's a rate increase. So it's not like I knew January 29th, February 1st, there was going to be a rate increase. There wasn't, but it's not like we have a heads up until it actually happens.
Right, sure.
And then they'll say, oh, yeah, there was a rate increase 3 days ago. That's why it went up, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it is definitely a feat, but that's why it's good to have someone on your side that is a good advocate for you locally.
Now, I've seen out on social media people saying, my insurance company's not renewing me. You know, what do I do? That seems to be the panic. And I imagine that there's got to be some sort of notice that way. So, like, an insurance carrier is not going to drop you on February 29th for January 1st, are they?
No. So, by law, they do have to give them 60 days notice. And like I said, I mean, insurance companies, people get mad at insurance companies, and I totally get it because, you know, I live in Ramona and do a lot of work up here in Julian as well. But it is their prerogative, you know, whether or not they want to insure it. I mean, the other option would be they just raise your rates astronomically, which the Department of Insurance wouldn't okay, and then you wouldn't be happy with that either.
Right.
So by law, they do get notice. You're supposed to get 60 days notice from the insurance company. I've seen them giving all the way out to 90 days notice. So what happens, I've seen a lot, is, you know, homeowners wait, you know, think maybe they can sweet talk their insurance company back into it. But unfortunately, this has become more of the norm than not. For example, a couple months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, Nationwide did a huge non-renewal. And we had 14 calls in one day from people getting their non-renewal notices. So, you know, it's just something to understand. Don't wait, because this isn't something we can turn around the next day like we used to. Because the number of insurance companies we have to choose from now before we get to the FAIR plan has dramatically decreased. So, you know, they're busier now that people are doing non-renewals. So the turnaround time is not as quickly, and people are getting inundated with these, you know, questions and concerns. So, I mean, I have people call me that their policy is being canceled in 2 days and they've been trying to find it on their own. Most places don't charge, you know, a broker fee, or, you know, we give free quotes or free estimates. There are some companies that do charge broker fees, and it's just because of the extra work they're having to put in it. But yeah, definitely don't wait. As soon as you get that notice, my suggestion always is start calling the, you know, 3 to 4 top name brand companies, mm-hmm. seeing if they'll write it. If not, get yourself a couple brokers that'll work on your site.
Yeah, that's really good. Good yeah. advice. Yeah. So people can get to know a little bit more about you. Mm-hmm. I know that your agency has been in Ramona for 50 years. Obviously, not with you running it for 50 years. I'm not even sure you've been alive for 50 years, but it's been in your family. So talk a little yes. bit about your history and why you do what you do and...
You know, my stepdad's the one who actually started the insurance agency, and my mom was working for him. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he passed back in 78, mm-hmm. so my mom had to get her insurance license, mm-hmm. become the agent, go through all of this training, because she was just a little secretary, you know, kind of yeah. helping at the time.
Sure.
So she did that, so we actually grew up in the insurance mm-hmm. Industry. Like I said, it's been in the family for over 50 years. I still have some of the same customers, you know, who say, oh, I remember you running around the office and taking a nap in the back room, that sort of thing. We helped in the office as teenagers and such, and mm-hmm. then I got married and went on my way. Mm-hmm. And then my mom was talking to me one day, unfortunately, when I was getting a divorce, she was talking to me and she goes, you know, I'm going to want to retire sometime. Why don't you become partners with me? So I came back and became partners with her, mm-hmm. helped her build her portion. And about 10 years ago, she retired. So mm-hmm. I bought her out. And I've actually been doing this 18 years. I love what I do. I love talking to people. Mm-hmm. I love helping people, you know, because when people call me, it's usually when something terrible has happened.
Right, yeah.
You know, like their policy is getting non-renewed, mm-hmm. or they were just in a car accident. What do they do? Yeah. Or... you know, their youthful driver starting to drive, what limits should they have? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we give free advice. Like I said, my goal is to help people because I want to go to sleep knowing I did what was right for myself and you. Mm-hmm. And what you decide to do with that is up to you type thing. I say, just give me a couple minutes. I'll explain why I feel the way I do, why you should have this. If you decide not to have that, then... the ball is now in your court.
Right, but you feel very, I can tell that you feel very strongly about laying it out. Here's what's available. Here's my professional opinion as to why you should go in this direction. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not in the business of twisting anybody's arm to, you know, you must buy this waiver. You must buy this whatever, exactly. writer, or whatever.
Well,
yeah.
And I can't do yeah. that because, you know, some of them cost extra premium and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm not the one paying that for yeah. you, but at least I can lay it out there for you. Help you look at the pros and cons right. and help you make an educated decision. And sometimes people do it and sometimes people don't. Yeah. I mean, for example, just last week I had a couple. The wife was really adamant about earthquake insurance. Mm-hmm. It was very affordable for them. In fact, the discount they got offset the cost of the earthquake insurance. And mm-hmm. the husband's like, this is ridiculous. I don't need this earthquake insurance. And I'm like, well, this is why you should have it. Mm-hmm. It's going to save you $20 a year overall. Mm-hmm. And the wife's like, yeah, see? And he's like, okay, well, now that she's happy, then I'm happy and you're happy.
Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's my goal is just to put it out there, let people know what they're up against, let people know what I've seen, because mm-hmm. I've seen a number of, you know, unusual claims. Like
the
coffee
machine just woke up. Sorry.
Like you see the farmer's commercial. Those are all real claims that they have
yeah,
on the farmer's
commercial.
Yeah,
we've seen almost everything, so we know how to
exactly.
cover almost anything. Yeah.
So it's not me myself, but it's like, you know, fellow agents. We've heard of unusual things that have happened. And it just kind of opens your eyes as to think, this can actually happen.
Right.
What do I do to protect myself
right.
against that?
Yeah, absolutely. I know with us, we have really good health insurance through my husband. Sorry, we're getting a fax. Through my husband's employer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get to choose every year an open enrollment. And it's like, do we choose the high? There's a high, mid, and a low.
Right.
You know, when we had the kids, we had the high because, you know, kids... go to the doctor more. So your copay, yeah, your copay is $20. But then as everybody got older, you know, it's like we went with the mid. And I know when the kids, both of my kids stayed on our plan, so they were 26. And so as they got older, we chose the mid, and we get the phone call. My copay was $30. Well, yeah, you're not paying the premium, girlfriend. So because husband's covered for, but yeah, the rest of it comes out. So you
right.
have to. It's like it's basically like balancing a risk between how much you want out of pocket and how much you're thinking that the damage might be and what the insurance company will pay for it. So.
Exactly, yeah. And that comes across a lot in home insurance. You know, 10 years ago, the average deductible was $500. Mm-hmm. Now I would say the average deductible is $2,500.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for a $1,300-$1,400 claim, you're not going to want to put it in mm-hmm. for two reasons. You're not going to want to put it in. The reason being is if a real claim or an extensive claim comes across mm-hmm. after that, if you have two claims on your record, good luck finding insurance yeah. anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to separate policies a number of times because there's been two $1,800 claims in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So you got to be really careful as to when you put in that claim. I mean, insurance should be, in my opinion, more of a catastrophic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're going to use it for the big things. You're right. not going to use it for the little things.
Yeah.
You're not going to use it because your tree blew over on the fence.
Right.
Type thing. Yeah. But there are a number of people who, I have insurance, that's what I have it for.
Right. Yeah.
But then once they get to that point of having two losses, they're like, wow, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
people call me all the time. Should I put in a claim?
Right.
Should I not? And I try to help them, you know, weigh out how it can affect them going forward.
Right, and they can make the decision. Mm-hmm. That's really up to them.
All yeah, because right, cool. it's not financially affecting me at all.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
But people don't realize that can happen.
Yeah.
For example, my husband was rear-ended, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. It was a young kid that rear-ended him, mm-hmm. and I contacted the parent, and I said, everyone's okay. It's just a little bumper damage. Mm-hmm. If you'd like, we can go out and get an estimate and handle this outside of insurance, mm-hmm. and you can pay for it, or you can put it through your insurance, and his rates are going to go up probably $300 or $400 every 6 months for 3 years.
Yep.
And then if he gets in a real accident,
yeah.
then his rates are going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we worked it out. The parent was really nice. Everyone worked it out. Everyone was happy. Got a rental car for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of went on our way
yeah.
type thing.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, you know, try to work it out before rushing to the insurance
yeah.
company for that claim.
But you also, and I see how people can want to do that. I'm paying all this money for mm-hmm. insurance. Why do I now have to pay? I mean, I get it. But it's one, like you said, it's you've got to sit there and weigh the consequences of,
right.
of if something real happens. I mean, here at Town Hall, was it 2 or 3 years ago, we had a ginormous flood downstairs. And we had no choice.
That.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to put in a claim, and the claim ended up being somewhere in the $9,000 to $11,000 range. And, you know, as a nonprofit, we had to do that. And
yeah.
we did see our rates go up, but, you know, the hot water heater, I think it was, yeah, the hot water heater went poopy and, you know, just did all kinds of damage, and we had to get flood people in here and all that stuff. So
yeah, claims are not cheap. You know, that's why I always tell people, you know, take pictures all along the way,
yeah.
make notes, document everything,
yeah.
do a little bit of research on your own, see, you know, how much damage that water damage is
yeah.
going to do. And then make that decision, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, just as soon as it happens, just pick up the phone and call. And then once you've made that initial call to that insurance company, now you've got a claim.
Yeah. Let me ask you, that's a question, because we had an incident where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And it's not the same as calling your broker, right? I mean,
right.
When you call your broker, that's what you're there for, say, maybe, or oh, definitely, or definitely not, or
right.
what have you. So I just want to make sure, because I made a phone call like that to the broker, and I just want to make sure that didn't have anything to do with
it. No, so most brokers will, you know, it's kind of confidentiality
sure.
type thing. You're asking for my professional advice.
Right.
I will give you my personal and professional advice on what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's up to you what you
right.
want to do. When you call the initial insurance company and they have documentation, you know, date and time, when
yeah.
it happened, what happened, who's calling in,
yeah.
give you a claim number. Now it's documented.
Yeah, that's that.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
whether they pay, you know, anything over $750, if they pay $760, that's a claim.
Yeah.
And it counts against you as much as a $35,000 claim.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
a claim's a claim.
A claim.
So,
wow. So they don't, it's not done on dollar amount, it's, other than it being over $750.
Correct. It's not
wow.
done on dollar amount. So that's why, you know, you kind of figure that. You figure your deductible. You figure your homeowner's policy, I would say, on average, goes up $400 or $500 a year for
mm-hmm.
a claim.
Mm-hmm.
There's another $1,500. So I try to weigh out how much it's going to go up, what your deductible is going to be,
mm-hmm.
how much more it's going to be over that, and then, you know, put it back in your plate.
Yeah.
And you make the decision what you want to. Because, like I said, financially, it doesn't affect me.
Right.
But a lot of people haven't dealt with a claim before and don't
yeah.
know all the ins and outs, and especially don't know that second claim that they could have for like a huge wildfire, you may not be able to get insurance at that point.
Yeah, that's scary. So that's good, really good advice. I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk and people can hear about it. And I'll be sure to share this with the community here locally so they can, you know, get some questions answered and maybe give you a call to help them sort through what and make sure that they have the best coverage and they're making the right choices for the risk that they might be experiencing on their own home.
Yeah. Now the other thing, one more thing I wanted to add is, so the California Fire Plan we touched briefly on, it is basically just a fire policy. Mm-hmm. You don't have any liability coverage. Mm-hmm. You don't have any water loss coverage. You don't have any theft. Companies like Farmers Insurance that I write for and a couple other brokerages I write for write what's called a difference in conditions policy or a WRAP policy. Mm-hmm. It wraps around the FAIR plan. So what those policies do is they do cover liability, mm-hmm. water losses, theft losses. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people who would have to have the two policies together to ensure your home like a similar homeowner's policy. Right. So we do offer those as well, which is really important because liability is another huge thing mm-hmm. that we are seeing. You know, due to the economy and such the last couple of years, people are suing for ridiculous things, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it goes to court, and there's attorneys involved, and mm-hmm. there are claims open because of that. So you really need to protect yourself, and that's why it's so important to talk to a broker about what am I opening myself up for here, mm-hmm. and that way you can make the choice whether or not you want that difference in conditions policy. But it's very important, and we sell them all the time.
That's great, right? Yeah. I'd always wrap up with, just in case there was some pressing issue I forgot to ask about or some story or information you wanted to share that we didn't get to, I want to give you that opportunity to...
The only other thing really is I hired a new staff member who's fully licensed back in November. Mm-hmm. So there's three of us licensed in the office. So I'm not always there because mm-hmm. I do outside appointments. Email is a good way to get a hold of me or schedule an appointment uh-huh. within the office. But I do have two other licensed staff that are there all the time, can answer any questions people might have.
That's great.
And, you know, we are open 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, even during lunches and stuff, because a lot of people do their running around at lunchtime.
On their own lunch, right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
So I, you know, try to make it important and convenient. I can do outside appointments. We can do evening appointments. Mm-hmm. I even do weekend appointments, that type of thing. Just trying to make sure that, you know, not give anyone an excuse not to have an appointment,
right,
basically.
Sure.
I try to work with everyone and make it work.
Sure.
So that's great. We're here to help the community, and I love what I do. I love giving back to the community, and that's why I'm here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And in the show notes, but I'll mention it here, you're going to be at our trade show, community trade show in April, so you'll have a table so people could stop by and talk to you, or at the very least, pick up your business cards so that in the future, if they find themselves with a need or a question, they'll have access and they'll have FaceTime with you, not computer FaceTime, but, you know,
actual
old-fashioned FaceTime, and they can reach out to you. So that's great.
That'll be perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming in and talking and sharing and teaching me things I did not know the answers to. So
Well, cool. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It was great. Awesome.